right. Did I turn it on right? Okay, we got new equipment again today. So we're learning things. We were able to get some wireless microphones. So now we're trying to, one, remember that we have wireless microphones, and two, figure out how to make them all work. And then we're short the majority of our tech team today. Is the entire Stewart household, like, hit with the plague. And so we're learning very quickly a lot of things that other people were doing. So it's been exciting. Now, maybe you guys can help me out. I mentioned last week how much I dislike Valentine's Day. Like, it's up there with my dislike of Halloween. But I always try to be fiscally intelligent. And so I was giving some advice to my son. And I said, hey, because he was heading off, he's in his freshman year in college. And I said, don't start dating anyone between Thanksgiving and Valentine's Day. I said, it's way too much of a financial commitment to make in such a short period of time for a new relationship. And my wife and daughters think I'm a horrible person for that. But I'm just saying, it's just good math sense, right? Like, the relationship's too new to hit all of a sudden you got Christmas and Valentine's Day, and with his luck, there'd be a birthday in the mix too, and you're just a ton into gifts right off the bat, and you're like, you don't even know if you like this person that much. So I don't know if you guys are on my side on that one or not, but I told him last week, I said, hey, you are now free to date on campus, and it would make good financial sense. So, but find out, like, how soon their birthday is too, because that just, you know, it just makes things hard when you got to spend that money up front. So anyway, I don't know if you guys are in the same spot, but it's always interesting giving advice to your kids on things. And I remember growing up getting advice from my parents and my mom, and it was always this awkward moment. We had this room. I'm one of three boys. So our house was wrestling in chaos all the time. And it's all we knew how to do. Like, everything was sports and loud and rough. But then there was this one room that had this couch that was kind of ornate, and it had some dolls and some nice paintings. And we weren't allowed to mess around in that room. That was my mom's one space. We called it the parlor. It was quiet. There was a piano that no one ever played in there. But it was done up, and this was her one space that was off limits. But this was also the space in which serious conversations were had. And so occasionally my mom would pull us into that room just kind of one-on-one, and she would give us this look, and she would just say, so how's your love life? And that was her way of just blunt coming right out and going, hey, where are you at with things? She was never wise enough to give me the advice of, hey, be careful when you start dating, you know, check dates and make sure that it's a financially sound time. But that was her question. It was always this, and it just came right blunt to you and just, hey, how was your love life? Now, I don't think I've ever done that to my kids. I know my Grace, the one that was up here singing and is now with the kids, she has no problem telling us about every person that she has liked ever since she was born, she would tell us. So we've never had to ask the question with her. She just shared things. But anyway, that's enough about the randomness of my life. So we are talking about what is love, not the 80s song, but I'm sure that's going through your heart, head. But we're talking about this thing that's said in Jewish households for thousands of years. Every morning and every evening, they would say this and still do. So well before Jesus and well after Jesus' resurrection, this thing is still being said. And it, if I turn on my clicker and I point it properly, it should. All right, Everett, you're going to have to click for me. It says, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Ahad. Ve'et hafta et Adonai Eloheha, v'hol lafshiga, uvahold nafshiga, uvahold meodeha. And what that actually says in English is, listen, Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord is one, and you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Let's pray. Loving Father, we do praise you for this day. We praise you for the joy and the privilege to be able to gather in your name and to worship you and acknowledge you as our maker, our creator, our savior, our God. Lord, we give you this time as an act of worship, acknowledging you as who you are. Lord, if there's anything that I've prepared or I plan on saying that isn't what you want said or isn't from you or aligns with who you are, God, please remove it from my mind. Don't let it leave my lips. And if it does, let it fall on deaf ears so that only your words stand true. We praise you in all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we really dug into and we looked at what this listen thing is and what this means. And it's such an important thing to what it is. Now that's found in Deuteronomy 6, but this is one of those statements that's found in multiple places in Scripture. In fact, there's this point in Matthew where the religious elite, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, were trying to trap Jesus. And they asked him a simple question that had layers and were planning to trick him in it. When the Pharisees, and this is Matthew 22, when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they came together and one of them, an expert in the law, asked a question to test him. And they said, "Teacher, which command in the law is the greatest?" And spoiler, you know what he responded with. It was that thing in Deuteronomy. He said to them, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." And he said, "This is the greatest and most important command." And so that's what we're digging into. And if we're looking at what is love is this. This is what we're told to do. So the Israelites, they'd just gotten through the Exodus and Moses had just given the Ten Commandments. And he comes down and he's saying things to the people and he goes, "Hey, this is so important. If you can just remember these 10 things, if you can just remember this statement to love the Lord your God with all you are, if you can remember that, milk and honey. The land I promise you, the blessings that were promised to Abraham to build this great nation, to make you a people, to make you my people, and the peace that comes through following me." Now, not peace as in everything is great and everything is easy, but peace as in you know you're in the presence of God and he is with you. And he says, this is so important, you need to teach it to your kids. You need to put it on your doorpost. You need to say it every day. Strap it to your arms, strap it to your heads. Don't forget this. The Lord is your God, the Lord alone. And you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And we looked at this word Shema, which is to hear, to listen, to pay attention, to obey. When he says, "Listen, Israel," or "Shema, Israel," what he's saying is, I need you to pay attention to this and not just hear me, but do this. I need you to acknowledge me as your God and your God alone. And I need you to love me with everything you got. Now, we're going to, on Tuesday, get ready for the next series heading into Easter. And we're opening this up on Tuesday evening. If you just want to come be a part of the process of learning and asking questions as we prepare this new series, we're going to do this every time we kick off a series. We're going to have people over to my house. We're going to sit in the basement, give an overview of things, hear questions that might come up, hear some thoughts that might be there, because we want to answer all the questions through the service, but we also want to get other information and be a part of this, and we throw it into a big pot, and we see what God works out in the end. So I want to encourage you with that. But if you can't do that, it's your job to keep up with this. It's my job to teach you the best I can so that you have tools to do this on your own. Okay, I have tools that help me learn and help me be able to communicate this to you. One of my favorite ones is the Bible Project. And so there's some really good stuff on the Shema on it. And what's great is it comes with cartoons. So it's really simple, but they dig in. They do a phenomenal job on so many different topics. So don't just study the Bible. Study the Bible, which means pull in some resources. pull in some other things, do some word studies and dig in. So I wanted to let you guys know that, some of this is, if you're watching the Bible Project and you're like, that sounds a lot like what Rick said. I stole from them. They didn't steal from me. Okay. That's just the way this goes. But we want to encourage you, because now we're going to look at what is it to love. And we often look at the word love and we think all of these things. Like, we just had Valentine's Day and everything was pink and you get these gifts and you give candy and you give flowers and all these things. And we look at love and we think about different loves that were talked about in the Bible. And we go, oh, there's Eros love and there was storge love and the phileo love and the agape. And we think about that interaction between Jesus and Peter where he's like, do you love me? Do you love me? And we're like, oh, he's talking about this selfless, sacrificial love. And then we start to go, okay, well, if we're to love the Lord our God, which one of these Greek loves is it? And it's not. The love that this is talking about is this Hebrew word, ahava, which is an action love. Like, I don't care what you say or what you heard. Love is a verb. It's a doing. It's an action thing. And this is what he's saying here is you need to love in motion. It's not a concept. It's not a thought. It's an everything. When you love like this, it makes a connection between the two parties. I talked a little bit last week about the Princess Bride and the as you wish statement that Wesley kept making. And I said, you know, it's a selfish love because she never reciprocated that. He just kept doing and doing and doing, but there was no reaction to it. And God's going, I need you to love in this great way because I made this covenant with you. I made this covenant with these people, with all generations, and I'm going to bless them and I'm going to love them. The almighty, all authority, all powerful God, who it is enough for us to just say as you wish because of who God is, wants this ahava love relationship where it's this connection between God and his creation. And it's an active love. It's doing something. And he goes, and I want you to love me with all your heart. And we have to think back to the context of that time when that is said. And the word heart is lev. And we think of heart as what's beating inside of us, right? We're like, oh, and we think of Valentine's again, and I love you with all of my heart. When they say heart, they're saying something different. They don't understand the function of the brain. They thought it was in your heart. They understood that your blood pumps through your heart. They knew that lev is your life blood. They understood that. But it's your life blood in your mind. Thank you. I'm probably going to trip over that. Thanks, man. They understood it was your heart and your mind. So when they're saying love the Lord your God with your lev, with your heart, they're saying love God with every beat of blood that gets pushed through your body and makes everything work. But love God with every thought, in every action, in every deed. Love God with everything you have. So much more than just the I love you. Love me with everything. With everything that makes you exist. With all of your physicalness. Love God. And you would think that's enough, right? But God being God and knowing his creation said, let's clarify this. When I say all, I mean all. But just to make sure you understand, I mean all. He says, love God with all of your soul, your nefesh. They don't have the word soul like we have the word soul. We see soul and we think of this almost mystical part of us. It's this peace that when we die, it floats up and it has this spirit feel to it. And that's not the word nefesh. They don't have that peace in the Hebrew language. What they do is it's your throat. And you're like, I love God with all my throat? Well, all my throat is every breath that I take, every word that I say, every food that I eat, every water that I drink. If I have no throat, I have no existence. I have to love God so deeply that not only is it through my blood in my physical being, but it's everything that goes in me and everything that goes out of me. As my body acts and my words go and my thoughts go and my mind goes and everything drives from one thing to another, that's the extent I'm supposed to love God. Everywhere my breath goes, everywhere my voice is heard, is for the glory of God. Every thought I have, every move I make, for the glory of God. We love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with everything that we are, inside and outside, with everything we think, with everything we imagine, with everything we feel. We love God. You would think that's enough. You would think if you're saying these statements and understanding them, that the soul is your whole physical existence and your heart is everything that beats inside of you, you were like, okay, God, I get it. And it's one of those where God's going, but do you really understand? Love me with all your strength. Now this again, doesn't mean what you think it means. Strength is actually the word me'od. And we see me'od a lot of times in Scripture. This is the only time it's really put in as strength. The better translation for me'od is very, anything, and everything. One of the most important uses of the word me'ov is in the creation story, and everyone's going to get really tired of me saying this, but I think it's so very important to who we are that we understand the creation process, and God makes everything, and on each day, he rests at the end of the day, and he says, man, this was really good. This was tov. This is good. And can you imagine when God calls something good, how good that is? And we can see the goodness of God and his creation everywhere. And he gets to the end of the sixth day and he looks at the human creation, the man that he made in his image. And he said, not only is that good, is that tov, that is tov me'od. It is good, which is tov, to the greatest extent, and then so much more. That's me'od. And you're loving with your heart and your soul. It's the all-inclusive. It's the every breath that I take and every breath that I will take will be honoring to God. Every thought that I have, every action that I make, and every action and thought that I will have will be honoring to God. As I walk around and I live my life, people will see me in an example of someone who loves God with everything that I am, and I'm going to give him even more. God and God alone who is worthy. And that's where we are with this. And me'od is translated so many different ways. This is the main one, and we see this in Hebrew as anything and everything. In Greek, we actually see strength and power. The Greeks translated me'od into with all of your strength, with all of your power, with all of your authority, with all of your ability to dictate anything and everything. That's what you love God with. If you have authority over another person, you love that person with God. If you have a family that you lead, you love that family with God. your strength and your power. And that's in the Greek. In the Arabic, it's with your wealth. This one gets touchy, right? Because there's no statute to when you start loving God. There's no point where it's good financial sense to start going, I'm going to love God. But in the Arabic, they say, my wealth is my everything. It's that stature. And so if I'm going to love God, I'm going all chips in, all in for God, that I'm trusting him as my provider and my creator and my maker. And I'm going to say, God, I trust you with my finances. Everything I spend, everything I buy, everything I utilize will be used for your glory. If you bless me with something nice, I will bless others with this thing. And it will be an opportunity for me to tell people how much I love God. With my resources. If I have physical ability, I will love others because that's how I love God. If I have tangible resources, I'll use those to love God. It's meod. It's everything I have. And when Jesus talked about it, he said it's with your mind and your power. And all of these are inclusive in that word meod. I was trying to think, like, if I had to make a statement to get you to understand meod, the thing that kept popping into my mind is to infinity and beyond. I'm going to love the Lord my God with all of my heart, with everything that pumps in me, every thought that I have. I'm going to love him with every breath that I take in, with every word that I speak out, with everything that I hear, with every action that I have, and then to infinity and beyond. The greatest commandment. We're going to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. Simple, right? It's not too much. How hard can that be, right? But if that's what we're focusing on, there's a reason that in Deuteronomy it says, put this on your doorpost. Every time you walk through your door, you touch it and you say, I will love God with everything that I am. Teach it to your children so they don't forget. Because if you're focused on God, the things that make this so hard are off to the side. If my heart and my blood pumps for God, and my thoughts are all focused on God, the things that deter me and take me away from the peace of God are just blurred into the background. I love God with all my soul, with every breath that I take. The world that tries to distract me and move me away from God and what he has in store for me, in the peace and the blessing that comes from him, they don't come into my vision because I'm focused on God. What are you focusing on? We look at these tasks and we think they're so overwhelming, and we go, well, we just have so many things that come into our world. There's so many billboards down the street. There's so many jerk neighbors. There's so many other things that get me riled up and make me be someone who God doesn't want me to be. It's just so hard. And then to love God to this much, he says, but if you love me to this much, these things don't affect you the way they would normally. I got you. Following my commands become really easy because you're focused on me. Because when we focus on the God that spoke everything into existence, it's really hard to get distracted by things. Because we understand that we can't do this without God. We understand that the things that God's telling us to do are for our benefit. Because he's our God. He's our creator. And he loves us. He knows what's best for us. And he wants what's best for us. And he said, what's best for you is to stay focused on me. because I am the provider of all good things. I am the one that gets you through the tough spots. It's not that they won't come, but it's that I'll be there with you. I'll be present. I'll be a comforter. I'll be a peace bringer. Just stay focused on me. Don't let the outside come. So I got a couple questions for you. First one, how's your love life? What do you love? Are you so focused on other things? Are you worried about protecting you and yours? Are you worried about what other people think about you? Are you focused on your love life, or are you focused on who it is that I love and how that I'm loving God? Because your relationship with other people changes when you love God with everything you have. The way you're able to handle the things that come at you in life changes when you love God with all that you have and all that you are and all that you think. But the thing that keeps us from doing that is what we hold on to. The things that we tend to love, even though we have a love-hate relationship with them. Sometimes we just love ourselves. And we think we love us so much and we know us so well that we do things that are only good for us, but all we do is chase pleasure. We miss joy. Because we're loving ourselves with everything we have. And we can't do that much. And we just keep wanting. Sometimes we love our pain. We love our hurt. We love the pain of the things we've done to hurt other people. And we hold on to those things because this is our justification to not fully love God, because how could this God love someone so unworthy? So we hold on to our sin and we hold on to our pain and we hold on to our shame and we hold on to the things that have been done to us. And we say, yeah, God, you can have all of this stuff, but these things I need to hold on to because these give me comfort, because it brings me down and it calls me less than Tov Mayod and I'm more comfortable in there. But God's going, listen to what I've called you. Give me those things. Keep focused on me. Love me with all that you have. You don't need this nonsense. Because I'm the bringer of peace. And when you give me those things, let me show you what I can do with them. Because not only will I restore joy in your life in these areas that have been hollow and void, but I'm going to use those things and repair relationships. And I'm going to use them in ways that are going to draw other people into the same relationship with God. And they're going to go, my whole life I've been searching for God, and now I have it because I've seen what God has done in your life. Because when we start breathing out God and our love for Him, people see it. Not just in a, I'm going to live a good life and people will see that, but it's, I'm going to live a life focused on God, which means a lot of times I'm going to walk alongside people and not just show them what a life followed to God lives, but show them God's love through my life focused on Him. And I'm going to sit with hurting people and I'm going to walk next to people that are lost, and I'm going to give out of the resources because I love God with everything that I have, and I'm going to be there with them. That's where peace and joy and comfort live, is inside the will of God. How's your love life? What are you holding on to that's keeping it from being everything that it should be? So as we head into our closing songs, I'm going to remind you guys that we have our connection cards you would have gotten as you came in the door. And it's got the QR codes, which is all fine and good. But the most important piece is on the back of the perforated, And the question is, what is God asking of me right now? And we're going to take our tithes and our offerings in a few moments, but this is part of our offering. And so as we play this last song, be seeking out God and going, okay, God, what is it you're asking me to do? Bring to light something that I'm loving that's keeping me from loving you. What do I need to turn over to you and let you do your work with as a show of love, as part of giving you everything that's in me plus then? And there's action to things. There's movement. And that's what we say, just write it down. If you put it in the bucket, as it goes by, you're surrendering it to God. You're saying, God, I want this. And it becomes your prayer with movement. If your name is on it, your contact information, and you check the box that says, I want a pastor to reach out, I'll reach out this week. Say, how are we doing? How can I pray with you and for you? How can I walk alongside you in this? How can I encourage you? Where do you need someone to help hold you accountable? Where do you need someone just to sit with you? Because we do this together. Because when a community of people love God with everything they have, the community they're in changes drastically. Joel, will you lead us in a song? So, a scholar, author, contextual genius by the name of Lois Terberber took the Shema and rewrote it. And I think this is really applicable. Everett, if you can throw it up there, it says, listen, listen. I think it's there. Yeah, listen, listen. The Lord is your God, He and He alone. And you should love Him with every thought that you think, with every hour of every day for Him. Be willing to sacrifice your life for Him. Love Him with every penny in your wallet and everything that you've got. When you break down the context of those words, that's what it's saying. Is, Lord, just take everything. Because you're the only one for me. Jesus is just saying, this is the number one commandment. If you guys can just do this. Everything that was promised to Abraham, everything that was promised through Moses and saying, I'm going to give you this land where the milk and the honey is, where peace is, where joy is, where the blessing of God is, where you can handle everything that the world is throwing at you, all lies into just loving God with everything. This whole book is God showing us how desperately He loves us. And just if we can just follow Him, we got it. It's that simple. I can't give it to you. I can't live your faith for you. I can't follow God enough on my own for you. It can't be handed down generation to generation. It says, teach this to your children. Put it on your doorpost so that they understand, so that they remember, because it's got to be their thing. It has to be your faith. Coming here on Sunday and listening to me talk for however long, that's not this. That's a piece of being in community. It's a piece of learning, but this, loving God with everything, is a daily surrendering everything you have to God and going, today God is yours, tomorrow is yours, yesterday was yours. This breath that I'm taking now is yours. And I'm going to spend time growing closer to you because I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to be in communication with God. I'm going to love you and I'm going to serve you with my actions and my thoughts. That's where joy is. That's where peace lies. Loving Father, we praise you for this day. God, I can understand fully where if I just focus on you, I feel your peace and your presence. God, I understand that when I chase after what I think and what I feel like I want, when I chase after emotions and in the world, that I lose that peace and I just feel left wanting. I understand that, God. Lord, give me a heart that's focused after you, because I don't understand why the creator of everything loves me so deeply. God, as we continue to offer to you our lives, as we give you our offerings of our actions, our deeds, our thoughts, our hurts, our sins, our pains, and we surrender them to you, God, move through them, redeem them, and restore them to the peace and the joy that you have for us. Give us eyes that only focus on you. God, accept those things that we give to you. Accept our breath that we give to you. Accept our thoughts and our heart that we give to you. Accept everything that we give to you as an offering, as an act of worship. Acknowledge you as our maker, our creator.